Welcome to the podcast, everybody. My name is Danny Cola, and in this special rendition of the podcast, we have two instructors from the Human Fit Project Viesta. Here, I interview the founder of Human Fit Project, Maurizio Tangari. He's also the inventor of the HydroCore and Hydra water products, water-based fitness tools. And we also interview here Davide Colella, who is a fitness trainer and the inventor of the Zero RM training strap, the isometric training strap. He was a presenter at Human Fit Project 2023 and will also be at Human Fit Project 2024. In this podcast, we talk about all the fun that we had at Human Fit 2023, and we discuss a little bit about what's to come in the Human Fit Project 2024. So if you're looking to get more information about Human Fit Project in Viesta, Italy at the end of May, go to humanfit.it. That's humanfit.it, where you can find information about the upcoming events and how to make your ticket final and join us in Viesta in May 2024. So, without further ado, here's the podcast with Maurizio Tangari and Davide Colella. Hey, everybody. I'm here with Maurizio Tangari, the inventor of the HydroCore and now the newest tool, the Hydra water-based products. Amazing individual, creating fitness products, putting on different events all around the country and all around the world. I'm also here with fitness instructor and inventor Davide Colella from Valencia, Spain, originally from Taranto, Italy. He is the inventor of the Zero RM isometric strap. I'm really excited to hang out with you guys here on this podcast. It's been a while since we saw each other last in Italy, but I will say that Italy trip was the most amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, great time. My hometown, guys, was so nice to have you there. Yeah. Davide looked like a monk, all black out.
Oh yeah. Davide, how was you?
No, it's not daylight in your house now. It's
so Davide, you're doing this podcast from Valencia, Spain, and Maurizio, yeah, you're in from San Diego. And we're all here in this moment in time in different parts of the world, and it's the most amazing thing. So, Davide, what was your experience like at Human Fit Project Viesta that we had in May? I had the most amazing time connecting with all you guys, learning so many different things, and just hanging out, enjoying the food and the culture that is in Viesta, Southern Italy in general. What was your experience like overall in the 4 or 5 days that we were there?
Man, it was amazing. It was upward of the expectations. I mean, it was more than educational, more than the workshops. It said themselves was the connection between different people from around the world, different backgrounds, different also specialization in terms of training practice or working as a trainer. So was really full, since the early morning to the workshop, then yeah, the lunch together, the night vibes all together. Was an amazing experience. The place was crazy also, the location. I mean, Viesta is, I was for the first time there, and I'm near there, but I'm from near there, but was for the first time and was really incredible, man.
Yeah, I agree.
The K word, in my opinion, for that event.
I agree. Super incredible. Maurizio, how old were you when you left Viesta to come to the United States?
Oh, I moved here like 12 years ago, basically when my daughter was born.
Okay.
So we decided to move here. So it was 40 something. Yeah. No, 55 almost.
Okay, yeah. So you lived your whole life in Italy in that area and then moved your family to the United States and did your thing there. Now, just that town, when we were there at the end of May, my understanding is it's a vacation town. So when we were there, it was like the dead season still, kind of. So we had, I feel like, the whole downtown area to ourselves. It was like Human Fit Project invaded Viesta. The streets, yeah, were like vacant. There was really not a ton of tourists there just yet. The beaches were pretty quiet. It was like the perfect time for an event there. wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why I wanted the event be this specific period. You know, I want you guys to really experience the entire town and, you know, the people in a very, you know, when they're more relaxed, you know, because, yeah, you know, like you say, it's like a touristic town. So get overwhelmed the people and all the friends I have there. They work into the tourism industry. So they're busy, they're like stressed. So I want you guys to be there when they're more available and they're easy to connect and chat. So that was my idea. I want nobody around. You know, I basically, you know, 1 week after it just started like the season.
Sure.
So
sure. Summertime is fact,
yeah. Yeah. Junior stayed like, you know, a little bit longer. And Junior from Landmine University, and he saw the town completely changing from like, oh, yeah, being nobody, and all of a sudden all the street and the shop, you know, and then everything was so crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, it was an amazing experience just to connect with you guys, and like what David was saying, it was so full of events. It was morning coffee with everybody at the, you know, the Airbnb, and then traveling to the area where we did the workshops. And then we did two different workshops every single day for 5 days. And it was just connection, information, seeing. For me, it was really beneficial because I got to see how people structured workshops. You know, me and Wildman, we talk a lot about this. It's like, you can't just go into teaching workshops. You have to like build yourself up doing one-on-ones and small groups and then classes, and little by little learn to teach in chunks. Now, Davide, you did a whole workshop in another language. Your native language is Italian. Over time, when you move to Valencia, you learn Spanish. Talk to me a little bit about the challenge it was for you, or maybe it wasn't a challenge, but to break all this information down in English, because that was like, for me, the most impressive, seeing how so many of these instructors could transition from speaking to Italian to English, or, you know, trying to make the translation in another way. I thought it was so phenomenal. So Davide, tell me a little bit about your experience teaching that workshop in English. Were you nervous? How prepped were you? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yes, man, it was challenging because it was the first time, to be honest, to present something 100% in English. So it was challenging in terms of language. I have the lucky that, studying, taking information. The most of the things I do around fitness industry, sports performance, and all the things related to my product, the most are in English. Okay, so in terms of a vocabulary, maybe I'm not so empty in the mind. Mm. I have vocabulary, but to direct workshop in English was challenging. But, you know,
sorry if I interrupted you, David. It was also your first workshop?
No, first workshop, not. But okay. In English, yes. In English, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe it was the first workshop. How to say, like a multi-purpose target. I mean, people was there. Was from different backgrounds, different countries also. So variated in terms of audience was the first time. I did the stuff more specific, like, for example, with my tool, I was in a rugby team. I was a community of that club, and it was all in Spanish and all oriented to performance for that sport. So it was challenging, but man, the energy of people also the thing that when we learn or when we kind of share knowledge about training, the body language also speaks a lot. So the sure. positioning, the signs, you know. For example, Mark Wildman, I was talking with him coming back to Foggia at the end of the event. It was was talking to me of the importance he considered about to use your hands to direct and to instruct people. So I think this also helped, you know. And yeah, it was good, man. I was nervous.
To use the hand, you know, the hand is very important. We made that. Italian people create this.
We are experts on that.
Everybody makes fun of us, but the end, you know, it works, right?
Oh, it totally does.
Yes.
So, Davide, why isometrics? Yeah. Why did you get into this style, and why do you think it helps so much in a complementary effect from just like dynamic strength training? What's so special and important about doing things under isometrics?
Yeah, the why was born into my, it was 2018, I was starting investigating into like more unconventional or underrated, not so implemented methods, and I was into isometrics because of the high effectiveness, efficiency, and also the science base there is behind of them. So in terms of training, the strength, the power are very efficient. And I was into this project because I was getting passionate of that in terms of investigation. I'm really fan of Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee talks and used a lot of this approach. It's finally is an approach to strength training. Mm-hmm. And I was investigating about tools or big tools, like in terms of volume, that allows isometric to be made like in a gym or maybe outdoors sometimes, and I was checking that there was the lack of portability and versatility, but also three dimensions into the approach of isometric. The name of the product is IsoRack Strap. The IsoRack basically is the structure, very big and heavy, that has very various aids in order to set up the exercise, or car, bicep, or like hinging exercise. So IsoRack Strap, getting this concept into a strap, allows you also to rotate your body and to go into three-dimensional, contralateral, unilateral approach in a portable tool. So that was the why at the beginning, and then the more I go further, the more I see connection between isometrics, so static contraction, and all the movements we can implement into the training journey. So also ballistic works that apparently are very disconnected or separated by from isometric contraction, at the end of the day, are really connected because in terms of activation, posture, and certain works that can be made for dynamics.
No? Totally, totally. And I think another key thing there is like the portability of these products. You know, the HydroCore, same thing. The IsoStrap, same thing. You can keep them in your bag and go from town to town, place to place, and get exercise in. And I feel like the best workout schedule or programming is the most consistent one. And I think that's what a lot of people miss, is that, you know, they can work out a couple times a week, but it's really, you know, you want to be more consistent if you want to have long-term effects, if you want to improve your strength and mobility over time. You just got to work out more than not. And I think that these tools allow you the ability to do that, even if you have a busy schedule and you're moving from place to place and what have you. But as an inventor, like, when did you start thinking about, and even you too, Maurizio, like going from strength coaches and people that are demonstrating exercises to inventing of a new tool, the process of thinking of a need that the market is kind of, you know, wanting? How do you guys go from trainer to inventor and all the loops that you gotta jump through?
Want to answer first or answer?
Yeah, go, Maurizio.
Well, I mean, you don't think like that when you start I don't know, this is my opinion, but I don't know. Maybe I spoke with other trainers that after they became inventors, they create tools. Mm-hmm. And the first thing is like you try to resolve your personal, you know, issue or problem. You know, that's what it is. I mean, most of the time invention, they come out of a need, that be a personal need, you know, and then realize, oh, there's other people that have my needs or they have my same issue or problem, right? And you know, that's personally the what happened to me. You know, was just the portability, like you mentioned, was my first issue, like bringing a training tools all over, because I travel around the world and I say, fuck, I want to bring a tool that I can bring everywhere, but you know, tools weights, and you know, is a problem, you know, carry on tools that weights is a problem, cost effective, whatever. But at the end of the day, I found the solution with hydrocore, with the water. And then after, the more people say, oh, I have the same issue. You know, I want to bring this with me. Well, how I can do that? And then that was my first idea. But, you know, the other things are how effective the tools, how, you know, the creativity you can put inside and versatility and all the kind of things they come after. You don't think like, you know, ahead or what it is, you know. You just think, you know, okay, I resolve a problem for myself, and then you find like, you know, 100,000 of people that have the same problem, and then you help them out. I mean, that's was my first thing.
Love it. What about you, Davide?
I perfectly agree with this point of view, because if you are a trainer and you get into a creation, invention project, is because it's something that you are, for example, in my case, I was investigating about isometric in terms of efficiency, all the benefits beyond the product. And I was practicing with stopping with the pins, or, you know, adapting tools to this function. The creative process then was like, sometimes happen. And yeah, it was kind of, when you create something or invent, I prefer to talk about creation, because invention, a lot of things are already invented. So we create new ways, no? For example, the Bulgarian bag, hydrocore with water, and
all right, these, right.
This change, you know? And when you create something, I think that you constantly see yourself as the first adopter of that stuff you are creating. And so you think about details, and you think about alternatives. Well, I'm talking when you are into prototyping, into testing, no? And when the product is ready to go, is because you are ready to use it, and to use it in many ways, in many circumstances. It's cool that what I see with the product of Maurizio and the portability you were talking about, that is looking from a point of view of what the tools are dedicated to. Hydrocore is a ballistic tool. There are a lot of other use, but it's ballistic, no? And our strap is isometric training, so strength training and isometric strength. And they are both like portable in terms to allow you not just to port, to take it wherever you want, but also to increase or decrease the intensity of the ballistic for hydrocore, for example, and the isometric for us. With a hydrocore, you can put less or more water, and the intensity in terms of weight that you have to project into the various patterns increase or decrease. With the zero RM, it's like you have immovable resistance, so you can work kind of holding isometric, and you define the force is producing because you are versus the strap. So it's not just portability, but also it's something more, in my opinion, that is to have portability in one tool, the all in one, you know, the concept of all in one, more yeah. intensities in one, and more uses, of course, in one single tool.
Yeah, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, Yeah, sorry, I have a question for David. So, you know, obviously last year, you know, you had the opportunity to come down to Human Fit and we give you like, you know, a space. It was limited time. At the end, it was like an hour or something like that, an hour and a half, I don't remember.
Yeah, an hour and a half.
That you had the opportunity to show your product, to demo your product to all the participant of Human Fit. And everybody was stoked about, you know, how functional was your product. And I mean, obviously, you know, the people came there for vacation. So I remember like almost everybody bought one from you. So took back home one. And it was amazing because they had the opportunity to travel back home and bring something back, you know, not just the experience, but also tool. But that happened also with HydroCore and Hydra and everything. Obviously, you know, when you go to this type of workshop and, you know, they present you a new tool, a new method, you know, most of the time you come back with the experience or the information, but not the product itself in your hand. So it's like an instant gratification that you have right there, right? You know, go back home and then you have fresh information in your brain and then you can use it right away because you have the tool and you have the information, right? That's cool. Everything is fresh right there. And I'm excited, you know, next year you're going to have more space and more time to show your product because you're going to have a full workshop, you know, for a lot more time. You have like more than 4 hours or so to demo your product and explain more about it, what's behind the idea and exercise and everything. So that's amazing. And everybody's excited to know more, you know?
Yeah.
Yep, people are going to come back. They already had time, 1 year time to use it and experience, you know, that's great. So I saw you using, you were experimenting to get more data from your product. You use like, you know, that tool, the kind of creator. You can see an amount of resistance. It looked like a scale, basically. You know those airport scale that when you go to the airport, you weigh your luggage at home. So basically, you can see. You know, can you explain us more about it, how they work, and why? And I hope you can bring that to the workshop in Italy next year, so we can see the amount of force you can generate, depending, you know. Yeah. You know, amount of time under tension and amount of force you can generate. Because, you know, there's two things that go together, you know, time under tension, the amount of force for certain amount of time you can generate. Because sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean that you are able to resist to the force for 30 seconds, 20 seconds, which is already a lot, 20 seconds is already a lot. But are you capable to maintain the same amount of force generation in that amount of time? I don't know if it makes sense what I'm trying to say, because, you know, everybody can stay like this and hold an object, but can you hold it with that amount of strength of force, generate the amount of strength? I mean, you can maybe articulate more because you had the opportunity to work more with that tool, right? Can you explain more what it is and why you want more data?
Yeah, very good question. Yeah, it's basically the name of this tool is a dynamometer. And as you said, is beyond the sport, beyond sport use, training use, is used for like weight luggage and also into manufacturing area to weight, for example, to measure the weight of certain, like, for example, blocks into the manufacturing process. But it's like, you have to consider that, like, what's in English, bilancia?
Balance. Scale.
Balance, scale, yeah.
Scale, okay. A scale measures the pressure you are doing. So there is an object, the inner pressure. The dynamometer with two, like, hooks measure the pulling effort. So pushing the scale, pulling effort. There are a lot of, there are several brands of dynamometers in the market and is perfectly compatible with our strap because in the loops number 9, that are normally the loops used for the last exercise, no, innate, like the overhead press, you can set it up there and so collocate your feet and the height you prefer to use to do an exercise. So with this dynamometer, you can do variation of grips, you can use handle, or you can use also the strap itself. So the measuring is important, be in certain case, is important for testing. If we are doing, for example, a personal test or a team test of maximum strength into a specific exercise, is really good because these dynamometers can give you in time real the increasing of force, but also the peak you can touch. And this the interesting thing is in isometric training is that when you are into an exercise, into a specific angle, into a specific length or muscle, you can produce more force than your 1 RM. The 1 RM is your repetition maximum in one exercise. So into isometric, when you are static contraction versus immovable resistance, you can go into 110, 120, or even more percent of effect of a real force produced, because the dynamometer or the sensor tells you. So this is a good use, the testing, sometimes to test into the overcoming approach that you are producing maximum force, to test that, to monitor that, and to achieve, to save that result.
Yeah, so basically you're just talking about like a scale that gives you a number and gives people opportunity to know what my force is. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, because the feature of isometric training is that you can't see it. When you lift a weight, you can see the movement and you can see what the individual is lifting, if it's a barbell or if it's a stone or whatever. Isometric training, there is a lot of intensity is happening, a lot of inner muscular like activity, muscle fiber contraction, motor units, but you can't see it, so you can fake it basically, no? And the other interesting thing about measuring with isometric is that if you define your maximum effort into an exercise, into the overcoming isometric approach, that is when you do the maximum intent, into the other approach, that is the holding isometric, so it's maintaining a resistance during 30, 45 seconds, that has benefits around hypertrophy or muscle endurance and other kind of benefits, not maximum strength, of course. You can set up there like a limit, a standard you try to maintain. So when you are measuring, say, okay, I have to stay around 30 kilos, for example, in a bicep curl. So it's good to have a reference in order to maintain that weight. Because just to do you an example with something that is not like an immovable resistance, the holding isometric basically, for example, I take this bottle. Imagine that this bottle has a lot of weight. I take you into a bicep curl position. So the optimal stimulus is that I can stay with this external object and the resistance around 30, 45 seconds. And then I have to, I'm done, you know? If I take a weight that when I'm in a bicep curl, I could stay 2 minutes, is less intensity, is not good, is not optimized. And if I take a lot of weight and I stay just 10 seconds, is not the best for holding isometric. So to work with a removable resistance is optimal because you have the goal that is the time. And into that time, you are performing your Eiger standard of force, maintain it into that time without acceleration or too much decreasing. Of course, there will be. But you try to stay there 100% for that time.
So 30 to 45 seconds.
30 to 45 seconds is the optimal time where you are working hypertrophy, endurance is a mix or is a hybrid of both. But to answer it to Maurizio, that the measuring that can help you to have a standard as a goal. So you have the time and you have also a goal in terms of force you are producing. So to stay around there.
No, you know, Maurizio? No, yes, you did. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's very interesting, one thing, because in the concept of called modern fitness industry, the way people train nowadays, you know, they used to go to the gym, you know, conventional gym, and, you know, everything have like a label of numbers, whatever you go in the gym, like, you know, oh, 10 kilo, oh, 10 kilo, 50 kilo, 150 kilo, right? You know, but what we do doing is completely different. For instance, let's make the instance, the example of hydro core. You cannot measure absolutely. I mean, there's so many forces involved. Like, let's pick one movement, like the spin, right? You know, spin with hydro core. There's water inside. Let's say I don't even put the variable of the water. Let's say Bulgarian bag, okay, which is already like the concept is like interesting. You see, you get the Bulgarian bag and then you create the spin, which the spin is an isokinetic movement, right? You know, you spin around your body, same force, intensity, you don't change your direction, no inertia, nothing. You just have to go around, okay? How you measure that? How you fucking measure that? It's impossible. I mean, unless you have a specific machine where, I mean, there's so many things involved, like, you know, length of your arm,
yeah,
center of gravity, the gravity himself, the speed, there's so many forces involved. On top of that, put water inside. Put water, which you create, like, you know, into this oxygenated meaning more chaos and more variable of whatever the water it is. You have to counterbalance your body weight according to the amount of force you generate, where is the water in that specific moment of time, right? It's so crazy. I mean, obviously, with the isometric movement, it's easy. You have the scale you pull, and then you can understand, you know, on time. But, you know, the set amount of tools you cannot, I mean, or the landmine himself, you know, how you measure that, you know, in that specific movement, you know, how to move and snatch and coil. I mean, how you measure the amount of force. People don't understand that those type of exercise or method, you know, they require really not just your entire body get involved, but your brain get involved. And in specific, like, you know, say of the zero RM, it's so interesting because we always thinking like, you know, oh, we have to, how many rep we have to do, how many time, how many kilo. But that's not what human being does, you know. I mean, if you think about any sport, any specific sport, let's say sport, okay, soccer, boxing, you cannot give 100% anytime. You don't have to. If you give 100%, you're done after 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, you have to spread the amount of force the entire game. If the game is 90 minutes, you know, you have to be wise to see, okay, I can run for 20 seconds, but I need to stop, take a breath, and get ready for 20 seconds. You have to do that for 90 minutes. See boxing. You know, there's no boxer going there and start punching like a crazy person for 3 minutes round. This doesn't exist that. You know, you can give 20 seconds, 10 seconds of punches, and then you have to back up and recover if found out the strategy, right? So it's interesting because that's what human being, you know, was designed to do it since, you know, the Paleolithic, like fighting, hunting, carrying object for a month of time, resting accordingly, and then again carrying some. Imagine like, you know, I saw like this video, this hunter, they go hunting, they get this big, like, you know, whatever, moose or bear or whatever. And then they have to fucking drag this animal for hours, moving backward into the snow. Like you said, we're talking about 200 pound, 300 pound of piece, because they butcher them on site and they spread between like 5-6 hunters. And then they have to carry, drag into the snow for 1 hour, 2 hours, till they go to the camp. This is fucking hardest things you can probably do. Yeah, you're
talking
life.
About what you're talking about here is pacing yourself, the appropriate pace for whatever the objective is. And a lot of times in sports, you know, the objective is to, you know, whatever, let's say boxing, for example, is to last all 15 rounds and give your appropriate amount of energy as you go through each round and hopefully overcome your opponent. But now this is interesting, and I like to talk a lot about this. It's the game of life. Okay.
Yeah.
And pacing yourself accordingly throughout the game of life, right? You have to make sure that you're not doing all in all the time, because you're only going to last a few weeks or a few months or a few years before some disease starts to rid its ugly head, right? And this kind of segues nicely into like the culture of living in Italy versus the culture of living in the West or living in Europe in general, where it's a little bit more laid back. There's more emphasis on recovery time, sleep time. There's more emphasis on just relaxing, not so much go, 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 hit your quota, make your sales. In the West, and I've grown up here my whole life, and as I'm an adult now and getting into the workforce and having a business and a family and all this shit, it's a lot of information. It's a lot of load. It's a lot of taxing, stressful endeavors, and going through things one at a time and balancing things appropriately so you're not burning the candle at both ends. Maurizio, this question specifically for you. How did your mentality kind of shift from living in Italy, having more of that laid back lifestyle, to now living in the United States? Was there a deliberate change? Do you feel like you're overworked nowadays? Did you feel it even more than before? Like, talk to me a little bit about that mentality and how you had to kind of adjust as you started living in the United States.
Well, I mean, it's a different lifestyle, of course. You know, I mean, you guys saw where I live in Italy, you know, and the property, you know, the entire, you know, place where you guys have been, you know, you stayed into my property, right?
Yeah.
That was all built from my brother, me, my father, you know, other workers. So, you know, basically since I was a little kid, I was always working with my father, you know, carrying like big slab of marble and carrying things around. And then when we moved to the property, it was all day long, like digging holes, moving rocks, stone, fixing, building walls and things, you know. So that kind of, you know, it's part of, like you said, the culture of manual labor all day long, do something all day long. I mean, having a bigger piece of property, you know, that's what human being used to do back, right? Having a farm and, you know, take care of animals or, you know, digging holes or making, you know, whatever. All day long, work daily basis, waking up is constantly for 5 a.m. till night, just moving object around. And that what he's doing. And here is more like laid back. I mean, whatever like stress or amount of work I can put, I mean, sometimes people see me video me, oh, you're working out too hard. Man, you think that's fucking hard? Wake up at 5 a.m. start digging hole all day long. You know, when I was like 13 years old, my father used to bring me to this local cemetery to dig in graves, like holes, you know, because they're a big monument we build, like chapels and things. I had to do that all day long. This is a joke. I mean, that's why I mean when I see people sometimes at the gym and say like working out, you know, I mean, that's not working out, you know. I mean, I think your workout need to be awful. Need to be fucking crazy, insane, hard, because that's prepare you for everything out there. Is a joke. It's easy, you know. It's easy. It's so simple, you know. Go outside and what if you do? Push your car because you're out of gas? Okay, let's do that for an hour. No big deal, right? Carrying your baby for 30 minutes. I remember once, you know, we landed from it. I was so fucking tired, jet lag, and whatever. And my daughter was small, falling asleep. But we don't have the stroller, you know. Now you're a baby, you travel, you know. Stroller is last thing they gave you. So I did baby like, you know, my arm in line for 2 hours, a custom changing arm to arm. You know, there was this fucking long line, you know. I mean, imagine if you're not prepared for that. And sometimes I mean, dads at the park, man, they're overweight. They can't even play with kids. They can't even move it.
Yeah.
They're sitting on the bench at the phone and they don't have energy to play with the kids, because they don't put them to, you know, to work for life. That's what you need to do, right? You know, nowadays is the contrary. That's why you need to go to the gym, because sometimes when you are in your environment, you fail because you don't put yourself in that amount of stress, the amount of work they prepare you out there. Having a kid, you just new parent, right?
Yeah, 15. I'm 15 months in.
Yeah, you fit, you strong.
Yeah, and it's difficult. And I say to myself all the time, like, how does somebody who's out of shape do this? Carrying the baby, getting up and down from the ground, moving them from place to place, up, down, around, even just like simple grocery shopping. When we go grocery shopping, we buy things in bulk. A case of fucking coconut water is 40 pounds. To take it off the shelf and then on your cart, and then from the cart into the car, from the car into the house, and then, you know, to put them in the cabinets and all this stuff. We're doing this all the time. And you're right, you know, nowadays gym culture is get the heavy weight and movement and intensity in like a, you know, in a gym, in a basement or whatever, because life is so sedentary. It's not physically stressful anymore. It's mentally, emotionally stressful. It's getting the hitting the quotas, making sure everything gets paid, and making sure that you have enough to pay rent and get your food and all that stuff. These are the stresses that people kind of like box themselves in. And also then their lifestyle increases. Right? People's lifestyle, they want to buy more things, they want to have nicer cars, they want to have bigger houses, they want to go on more vacations, they want nicer bags and shirts and all this stuff. You know, the lifestyle starts to increase, and then the stress from finances and emotions and the dreadful feeling of going to a job that you hate and letting that be your everyday thing while everything else starts to fucking suffocate you. And then you're physically getting weaker and your brain doesn't work as much. And, you know, this is what we're dealing with in the West. And a lot of people are having trouble, not to mention the shitty food that is here in the West, and the fortified and enriched flour, and everything's bleached, and just it's a not, you know, appropriate food to fuel our bodies for long term, for the game of life, so that we can be functional into our hundreds, 110, 120. Like, let's talk about just the difference in food from Human Fit, right? When we were in Italy, I was eating pasta pretty much every day, and pastries and sweets and ice cream and all that stuff. And I, you know, obviously we were working out a lot. But still, like, I ended up losing weight when I came back, and I felt amazing. So talk to me a little bit about like the difference. And David, maybe you can talk about this because you're in Europe all your life now, and you know, all that. Like, talk to me about like the style of food, and how much experience do you have eating food in the United States? Have you ever been to the United States, David?
No, I never been. I've never been.
Okay, so then
In terms of
Spain, you have good food. In Spain,
I was saying, in terms of where I live, I'm very lucky. I am lucky and grateful that is good food and good quality food here in Valencia. Yeah. It's fresh food, and I was living, of course, in Puglia, in my own town, and I was living in the center of Italy, in Le Marche, is the region in the middle of Italy that, of course, the products were good, and the fruit, vegetables, everything, meat. So, I mean, but I read, I see news, I see things, so I know, and I talk with people from all around the world, so I know that is not all the world so lucky in terms of availability of good sources of food. So I perfectly get it. I perfectly get you. What do you say?
Yeah, and all this is a factor in long-term health and wellness. And I feel like when you put yourself in a position, like when you do a workshop in across the world or just a different city, like you put yourself in a position to travel, meet new people, get to where you're supposed to, make sure that you're staying fed and, you know, feeling good and strong, and you learn so much about, you know, about yourself when you put yourself in those uncomfortable situations, when you get yourself all the way across the world and figure out how to get there and figure out how to feed yourself and all that stuff. It's just, it was a very fun 10 days for me. That was just, you know, a break from my normal reality. And I'll tell you, when I do come back and I have all this new information and all this excitement, like I'll tell you, dude, you know who feels it. You know who really feels it is my customers. my customers get a rejuvenated version of me. So when they come down to my gym, it's just, you know, they hear stories, they get excited, and they got new tools and there's new protocols, and they really feel it. And it's such a wonderful experience for any trainer, or any person that's interested in leveling themselves up to do something like this. Cause when they do come back and start to integrate some of the things that they've learned, people fucking love it, and they feel the energy. Did you have a similar experience, Davide, when you came back after the Italy trip, when you came back to your gym?
Yes, 100%, man. I felt I was so concentrated, the experience. So it was affected me in a very positive way, but also in the long term. You know, this year I'm having a result, and I'm having an approach to life training, and also to my company that is beyond isometric training. I mean, I'm working on things that are collateral, no? That to grow the community and everything. So it's a long short term was short term and long term. The short term, I had some situations, family situation to stay on coming back. So it was a bit contrast, you know, without going into detail. But, you know, the experiences, the beautiful experience, make a sign on you. So it was great to come back. I felt that energy just was amount a bit like this. And then coming back, and everything was good. To be honest, I still feel that energy and that enrichment of a lot of things about me, about how I think, how I my creativity, everything, man.
So yeah, it's so important.
Well, I mean, also for you, Danny. I mean, you're from the area. You had the chance to see your father is an amazing person. You spend time with us also.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know, he's amazing. your uncle, and you had the time to reconnect with your father, because
it was the
for
best
3 years or more, so
six
the best. Oh yeah, six years, crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I mean, imagine, I cannot even imagine you. I mean, I go there every year, so for me it's different, but for you, you know, coming back, so much enthusiasm going back. You're probably your clients asking, because they know you, the friend.
They know everything. They know my entire story. Yeah.
Yeah. So you came back not just with the, you know, the workout or the workshop experience, you know, bringing those information back in your gym. I see using every day, you know, tools, information that you acquired at Human Fit.
Oh yeah.
You know, but also the joy of your personal life, you know, and you know, spend time with your dad. That was the most amazing thing ever, you know, right?
Oh, 100%, dude. When I, so like, there were so many moments on that 10-day trip for me that were just like very sentimental. Like, you know, the spending time with my dad was great. My uncles, the traveling with him getting to understand a little bit, like some of the work that I do, and you know, showing him like why I'm doing this stuff and how important it is to me to build not just relationships in my local community, but build relationships internationally, and to collaborate, come up with ideas, new modalities, right? All that stuff. That was so fun. And then like just the camaraderie with everybody, learning about everybody's home life and situations, and then playing music together and eating together. And like,
oh,
just
amazing.
Being in Italy, like the playing the music that one day with me and what's his name? Cedric, the musician. We had the guitar out there. We were barbecuing. Everybody was there. I had no idea something like that was going to happen. But then we're all sitting there singing songs, and I'm like in Puglia, like the land of my fathers, and then playing music, like songs that I've been playing forever, singing along with everybody. It was like, you can't replicate shit like that. And that was so fucking special to me. And yeah, there were memories of a lifetime that I'll never forget and cherish forever. That was just so special. But yeah, everything together, like swinging mace, when we wake up in the morning, me and Wildman and Will Safford having coffee, and swinging mace in the morning and then driving over to the area where we're going to have the workshops and then doing something completely different and going through a whole 4 hours and just also helping people coach when I was doing the landmine stuff, like everything just kind of fit. And then at lunchtime we're having, you know, spaghetti con le cozze, and it was just like, oh fuck, how much better can this get, you know? I think the only thing I didn't have the whole time was weed, and I was just like, where can I get where can I get some weed, you know? And then but still, nonetheless, it was the fucking best time. Just the relationships created, the times we've had, and the stuff that we learned. I mean, it was just, you can't get any better. So
okay, Maurizio, next time we make sure the weed is available next time.
Yeah, well, we ended up finding some, thank God, and it was fantastic on the last couple of days, and it was so good. But talk to me a little bit about like the planning and organizing that goes into something like Human Fit, and now we're gonna do it again. What are some of the, and you know, we've already been talking for an hour here. What are some of the things that you're planning for next year, and how is this gonna like evolve for 2024?
Yeah, I never stop. I mean, soon we finish there, we start already getting all this feedback. That's the first thing you want to get after an event.
Yeah.
I've been done other event, you know, related to other sport in the past. I'm very familiar how to do this, you know, but the most important thing is after the feedback, you know, and there's always something that, you know, kind of, you know, shift in a different direction, you know, and then you want to fix or you want to add more stuff, you know, but also you have to be realistic in the way you organize things.
Totally.
But, you know, all the feedback, very great, positive, you know, everybody, basically everyone, they came to the event, want to come back next year. They want to bring more friends. So everybody. From Mallory Jr., the Sifu, the guy from France, everybody, the guy who came from Poland, they want to come back. So this is great, and kind of, you know, makes sense for us, you know, say, so spoke to Mike, say, well, let's do another one. You know, this year we have a Junior more involved, he's helping out, you know, we had a new website, you know, and the program, next year will be, we're going to put out the full program out on the website, but basically we're going to have again Fabio Zonin, but which we're going to interview next week. Fabio this year, because his background is more like lifting, he will have like a lifting workshop, so we're going to have a barbell, and he's going to teach more barbell lifting, so a lot more unrack workshop, right? And we're gonna have also, like, you know, a more friendly competition, barbell competition, that will be like part of the program, but we're gonna have like a nighttime evening, so that'll be fun. Obviously we're gonna have Davide, we're gonna have Landmine again with Junior. This year we don't have Hydrocore or Hydra. I want to give more space to other coach. I mean, we'll be there, but not part of the education or anything. We had a little frame last year, you know, probably gonna have something similar, like, you know, the running in town. That was fun, right? We had a little run around the town with the hydro cord.
Yeah, that was epic.
Water. That was amazing. That was fun. Probably gonna have something similar. We're gonna have Jared Cardona with the crazy trainer with some flow, with the kettlebell flow. We're going to have Jared Thomas with a mace. We're going to come teaching, you know. So they'll be fun. We're going to have Alberto Galazzi, which is a good friend of mine for a long time, and with a kettlebell training. So, yeah, there'll be a big, nice program. We have a lot of stuff. Also, this year, we have the entire event will be into the piazza where we had the hydro core, so everything gonna happen there this year. So
that's
from
cool.
Day one to the last day, and we are setting up the little beach next to the piazza. We're setting up, like, you know, a beach village there. So basically the beach village will be always there, and, you know, with the music and stand up paddleboard, so anyone anytime can go to the beach, relax, get a stand-up paddleboard, go to the lighthouse just in front of there, you know, swim, So everything gonna happen there. So those are mostly the new things. Also, the most important thing, we're gonna have the live streaming of the event.
Badass.
The stream, the anywhere in the world can see the event, you know, for some time during the hours, 6 hours a day. We can stream 2 hours a day, a reality show in lifetime, you know, that's all going to be. And, you know, hopefully you will come, Danny. We're going to have the podcast tent. So the podcast tent will be on the perimeter of the event, and there will be interview. So that will be managed, hopefully, from you. And then you decide, you know, every day you want interview there, and the podcast tent, have guests there, talk, chit and chat. You know, we're going to have the rehab tent. So we're going to have, like, you know, people there taking care of you. If you have discomfort, if you need, like, a rock tape on your biceps, if you need, like, you know, a little massage, a little teragan, you know, thing. So we're gonna have the rehab tent. There will be a lot of fun things. So I want to set up the entire, you know, event in a way, the flow and everything is happening there, you know. And you know, one thing I want to say about, you know, the way I think about this type of event, that everything, the tools, not just the tools, the people, for me, it's very important they link to each other. They have some kind of, you know, way to link to each other, right? You know, for instance, the HydroCore with the Zero RM or the Landmine, you know, they kind of, you know, make sense in the same environment. That's easy to bring it back. You know, when you came back to your gym, Danny, how easy it was to go from HydroCore to now you have Hydra also, to Landmine, to this, to Zero RM, all they link together, they flow very easy, right?
I started feeling that even going back to Maui Fit, you know, from ropes to Landmine to club to mace, like all these things, the coiling, you can do these motions in almost any way, you know, even like with a dumbbell on a stability ball, coil press. Yeah. Like I already started to figure that stuff out back in 2021, and I was started to say, oh, wow, okay, there's definitely something here. And I, over the last few years, have leveled up the way I coach, the way I see the body, the way I train and train myself. So yeah, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's easy also for your client to pick up on these things.
Oh yeah. Because
they link so easily. I mean, when you learn, like, you know, a halo or a spin with HydroCore, how easy is to pick up a clebble or a main?
Do the same, you know, same thing. Exactly.
Or Landmine, you know, Landmine is the approach of, you know, barbell snatch, if we want, a kettlebell snatch, right? But more in a very safe environment, you know, and with a low, I mean, say low impact. I want to say, you know, all these tools, all these methods are very low impact, if we want it, right?
Sure. I would say with the Landmine, the Landmine is just like way more, like how Alex says, super accessible versus Olympic style lifts, where you might not be able to get full range in a barbell snatch. But you can do that a little bit easier with just that forward lean, and you know, you can get up to the snatch much easier than you would on an overhead barbell snatch, right?
Yeah, you see a little kid doing, say Alex, like a 10 years old, young wrestler doing Landmine, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's impressive. That's amazing, right? I mean, same thing with Zero RM. You can get any kid doing it. There's a low impact. I mean, there's not really any danger of get injured, right? You know, back in the days, you know, how many kids you have seen doing things like that, you know?
The problem with kids, you know, it's interesting to me, and the problems that I see is that, and especially with like football culture in the United States, is that like heavier and faster is better. And all these young kids, 13, 14, 15, they get on that, you know, culture thing just because like they want to be fast and strong and compete with everybody else who's older. But you see that they get into the heavy stuff too early. And by the time they're 16, 17, they hurt themselves significantly. Oh, yeah. Lower back, shoulders, knees, yeah. hips, neck, you know. And part of my philosophy, especially when it comes to teaching kids, is obviously better form, smoother transition of weight in your feet and your hands. And like stuff like that is something that's, I feel like in my business personally, has been received really well. And parents know that, oh, when they go to Danny Cola, when they're at Underground, he's going to take that under account and take that approach so that their kids are developing safely, efficiently, effectively, with really low risk of injury.
Yeah, it's true. It's so true. That's what's important.
David, where can people find you? How can people learn a little bit more about you? Let's wrap this up.
Yes, man. I live here in Valencia. I was starting here in 2019. I was back here because I was living here before too. And I was starting as a personal trainer. And I was connected to a co-working of personal training in the city area, and it was really cool because this connection we are talking about, you know, was present there. Any trainer had his style or more focused maybe in strength training, traditional. There were a guy that had training and educational, with a lot of education with TACFIT, so bring the club. So we had a hammer. So it was a mix of approaches, and we were working all together, you know, in the same area, of course, with the slot, with the individual client. And when pandemic started, I had time to focus it more into the project I was bringing, I was developing about Zero RM, was a prototype at that time. So I had time to see about like manufacturing and see more about how to bring this to reality and as a finished tool, like a complete tool, an official tool. And So basically now I'm more dedicated to the company, but still, working.
Where can people learn about the Zero RM strap? How can people find it? What's the website? What's the Instagram?
Yeah, it's the zerorm.com is the website. Then the Instagram also is Zero RM or Zero Repetition Maximum, the extended name. And these basically are the most important channels. On YouTube, we have a channel too. It's Zero RM Training. And basically, these are the current channel. We are developing a web app. The idea is, because we are now isometric training, but my philosophy as a founder is about multi-purpose approach into training. The idea is to connect the tool to various areas. And for example, as a pillar, ballistic lifting, traditional lifting, so dynamic lifting, grounding work, and locomotion, that by my side as a trainer are my main focuses when I want to categorize stops, no? And so create also a balance between them. And in the web app, the idea is to create synergies with the coaches, trainer in order to create hybrid workout or just to create isometric exercises, for example, that are functional and that has an impact of some kind of practice. And for example, with HydroCore, the same, I would like to do something that is also to combine two tools and other tools. So these are the main challenges.
Very good, very good. And Maurizio, leave people with a little bit of information on how they can learn more about you, HydroCore, the Hydra Human Fit Project.
Yeah, just easy way to go, social media, Instagram, always there present with the, you know, post video, share information, you know, at HydroCore, hydro.core. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't remember. I remember my Instagram.
Hydro.core is a hydrocore Instagram.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
Yeah. Hydro.core and hydra.training, or mine personal is unconventional.republic. So there you have all the info. You can DM me. And if you want to know more about Human Fit, is a Human Fit .project. So all the info are there. And then we're going to start getting like a opening the website for reservation next week, so we'll be ready to book already. People asking, you know, so you can book directly from the website. But yeah, that's what it is.
Wonderful, gentlemen. This was great. This was an hour podcast discussing exactly what I thought we would discuss. Davide, it was a pleasure connecting with you. I miss you. I think we had a great time together over there.
Thank you very much.
In Viesta. Definitely connected with you and develop a bond and a relationship, and that was awesome, dude. And Maurizio, hats off to you for being the guy behind this and organizing all of this, and I know how much energy it takes and all the things that you have to kind of jump through in order to make sure this gets set up. So thank you so much. This is a fun time. Thank you guys. We'll talk soon. Okay.
Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. If you're looking to get more information about Human Fit Project that takes place every year in Viesta at the end of May, check out the Human Fit Project website, which is www.humanfit.it. If you want to learn more about Maurizio, check out his Instagram at unconventional.republic and hydro.core, and also check out the Hydra, which is hydra.training. Also, if you want to get more information about Davide Colella, you got to find his Instagram at Davide Colella and his invention, the Zero RM Strap. So that's it, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. Hope to see you at Human Fit Project Viesta 2024.